And thank God for those that are reaching out to those people. Okay? Seriously. But you know, we have our own challenges here in California. And the weather is one of them. And that's not a joke. The weather is a challenge because it's so good. And it's so easy for people to get out and go to the beach and go boating and take a day away and all kinds of stuff. It's a great temptation here. The weather is a trial there, but it's a temptation here. You understand? They don't have Starbucks in every corner. They don't have movie houses. They don't have places they can go out and have fun and joy, but we do. So our lifestyle is actually a temptation to us walking with God. But many of us don't realize that because we think it's God's blessing and comfort because we have all these great things. Today I want to talk to you for a little bit about the opportunity to make a difference. And as you know, that man of God, that pastor was making a difference at personal, great personal sacrifice. And I want to talk to us about making a difference. I think all of us, I speak for myself, but I think all of us would like to feel that our life made a difference. That our life counted for something. That perhaps we had a positive influence on our children, on society, or maybe even a part of the world. I think we'd like to feel that when this is all said and done, that my life had a life of significance. Wouldn't you? And you know, this deep desire, this inner feeling that you have, is really only satisfied and fulfilled when you actually help other people. That's when it gets satisfied. That's when it when you know that your life counted for God, there is no greater sense of satisfaction. And the older that I'm getting, the more I'm looking back and asking myself the question, did I make the best use of my time? Did I really put priorities in place? Did I really do the things that count or will have eternal significance? Or was I too wrapped up in my own little life, my day-to-day running like the little rat in the wheel? A lot of effort, but not going anywhere. You know, the unfortunate part about it is that when opportunities come, they usually have risk attached to it, and then there is the idea or the need to invest money, time, and effort. And so every time we face an opportunity, we evaluate, am I willing to put the time, the effort, and the money into it? Can my priorities balance this out? And this is how we evaluate whether or not we should take the opportunity. Having been raised in South Africa, you know, before the iPads, iPods, iPhones, anything of that, before the internet, all of that stuff was created, we used to play little board games as kids. Little board game, throw dice, play. One of the games we used to play is called Snakes and Ladders. You throw a dice, and you move your little guy along the board, and when you hit the ladder, you go up. Ladders mean up. When you hit the snake, let me guess what happens. Guess what happens? You go down. Snake eats you, gobbles you, and you slide down the snake and you come out and where his tail is again and you keep throwing your dice. Well, the guy who wins finishes the board, gets to 100. That's the guy who wins. Okay, first person to 100 wins. The only problem is the biggest snake is at 99. Seriously, this is the massive snake. It takes you all the way back to first line, like number two or number three. You hit 19 and you back down to the bottom. And you know, that snake reminds me of the devil. And the ladder reminds me of opportunities. And we're moving along life's board. And sometimes we hit a ladder and we've got to decide, you know, do I want to take this opportunity? Do you want to climb the ladder? And there's effort involved in climbing a ladder, but it's certainly easier than climbing the face of a mountain. And then there's other opportunities that face us and we don't realize, but the devil is behind it. And he's just waiting to gobble you up, to bring you down, to destroy your life, and to suck you down to the bottom. Anybody had a snakes and ladders life experience? Right. So you know what I'm talking about. So the thing is, when an opportunity comes, there are always some negative forces that come against you. You know, let's call them self-talk. Self-talk. You talk to yourself about the risk, the fear. You talk to yourself. It's negative, usually, negative self-talk. I'm too old, or I'm too young. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I'm spinning too many plates. Got too many irons in the fire. Too many other commitments. I'm just afraid. I don't have the skill set. Maybe I'm not trained in this or whatever it is. And so we have these negative self-talk that come against us to try and talk us out of the opportunity that's facing us. The only problem is with self-talk, it's an indication of self-dependence. Negative self-talk. It's an indication of self-dependence rather than faith in God's ability. When you're faced with an opportunity, yeah, there are going to be risks. There's going to be effort. There's going to be money involved. There's going to be things that you're going to have to sacrifice. The big deal is, who are you going to depend upon to seize the opportunity? You know, people complain that in life, the breaks didn't come their way. And the people who got the breaks were just lucky. Just, I can't believe how lucky Bill Gates was. There was no luck involved. No luck involved. Because when he saw the opportunity, he made all the sacrifices necessary to make it happen. Yeah? You see, when opportunities come, they often come disguised as hard work and something that's going to require sacrifice from us. When it's a God opportunity, when God is presenting to you an opportunity to go to Siberia or to Africa or from Africa to America, it may not be easy. It may not be easy to follow God, but it is always the right thing to do. I tell you, folks, when we had to leave South Africa, Jackie, myself, and two teenage children, and to come to this great land, as great as it is, it has challenges if you don't have a job, a place to stay, a driver's license, a social security card, you don't have a telephone, you don't know how to use a telephone, you're not sure if the zip code is the area code, and you're not sure if, you know, 760 is the same as 92025. You're not sure which one, when they ask you which one it is, you don't know. You just don't know what is a zip code and what is an area code. Sounds like the same thing. Okay? And then people talk funny when you get here. You thought they were going to talk English and you get here and they don't. So you have all these problems. But you know, I say as a young 40-year-old man, I had to make a huge decision and trust God to bring my family to a place where I had no job. I did not have a church calling me to work. I did not have a secure income. I didn't have a place to stay. Didn't have a driver's license. And everywhere I went, show me your driver's license. Don't have one. Give me an identification. Don't have one. And when they did give me a pink card, instead of a green card, it's actually pink if you haven't seen it, It said alien on it. Seriously, I was called an alien. I figured these people don't know what aliens look like. They have no idea what an alien really is. Why am I saying this to you today instead of talking to you about the anointing? Because I have had what I call a God nod, a nudge. Just finished reading a book by Terry's brother. Wave your hand at me, Terry. It's called The God Nudge. And very often when God speaks to you, it's just like a little nudge. It's not always big boom in the clouds. It's not always, you know, lightning flashed out there and a big vision. Sometimes it's a little nudge. And if we're not really sensitive, we'll miss it. We'll miss that still small voice, especially if it says, go to Siberia. We quite easily miss that voice. Get thee behind me. Right? Well, let me tell you what the little nudge is, so you can get used to it for the rest of the service while I'm talking. The nudge was the Lord asked me to open up a service in Temecula on Saturday nights. So take a deep breath. I've been asked many times. When we started the church 6 years ago in Orange County, people asked me. When we moved to Oceanside, people asked me. When I moved to Vista, people asked me. When we moved to San Marcos, people asked me. When we came to here, people asked me. People coming from that area here to our church, and they asked, please, won't you start the church up there or move the church up there? And I rejected it every single time. I wasn't interested at all. Well, something happened in my heart. Now, just to put you at ease, I'm not moving this church to Temecula. So let's clear the air right away. Nothing here is going to change. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so you can, again, get your breath back, focus. Nothing is going to change. Okay? But the interesting thing is, I'm not sure if I made this statement publicly, but I know I made it to Paul, Pastor Paul, and I said that the Lord told me that this year we're going to go to two services. I don't know if you heard me say that or I said it just to Paul privately. But what we did is we continued expanding this facility to prevent us going from to two services. We did everything in our power to stop it. Come on now. You can say, oh me, or ouch, or whatever. Truth of the matter is we kept on expanding this thing so we didn't have to go to two services. What I didn't envision, had no mind, no thought about at all, was that God was saying the second service was going to be in Temecula. That didn't enter my mind because Temecula was not in my mind. Only this church was in my mind. Okay? So, I prayed about it. I shut up a prayer to heaven and I got an immediate yes. Immediate. It nearly blew me over. It was that quick. And I thought I'd pray again because maybe somebody else answered. But every time I prayed about it and every time I've spoken to somebody about it, well, most people, they've had a good positive response. So, let me continue my sermon while you think about that for a little bit. Let's get back to the fact that there's an opportunity to make a difference. And let's get back to the fact that opportunities don't always present themselves as easy street, that they sometimes come packaged with hard work, money, extra time, and so on and so forth. Because as you know, I only work one day a week. So I have 6 other days for me to have another service. Forgetting about the 3 sermons that I preached at Bible college and have to prepare all that. Now I'll be preaching 5 times a week. So, I mean, other than that, I don't really have much on my plate. How would you like to come up with 5 new sermons every week? None of you, okay? So let's get back to, there are many reasons people give as to not take the opportunity. or not to follow God? Many. Now, you might identify yourself with some of these. Most of these, I'm talking to myself. I'm trying to persuade myself that it's a good thing, that I really did hear the Lord, and that I'm supposed to follow Him. And anybody else who wants to help me, praise the Lord. Okay? If you don't feel like you want to help, that's okay. There's no pressure on you to do it. So, many people have made excuses not to follow the Lord. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's think about Moses. When God speaks to him out of the burning bush and says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses says in Exodus chapter 3, who am I that I should go? Remember this. Moses hadn't seen a miracle, never mind worked one. He was a fugitive. He was on the run from the law because he had murdered somebody. He wasn't really in good standing with Pharaoh. He was a criminal hiding away. And he gets told all he's got is a stick to go against the greatest military force on the planet and shake a stick at them and say, you will let the people go. And he stuttered too. You get the picture. You think you had odds against you in some of the things you got asked to do. And there's a burning bush talking to him. Explain that to somebody. That I'm here because a bush was talking to me. A burning bush was talking to me. That's why I'm here. And he had never done a miracle before, and he had no idea that God was going to work miracles for him to get the people. But he complained. He said, I'm not worthy. I can't do it. I'm inexperienced. Who am I? So those were the excuses. Were they valid? Yeah, they were valid, but they were self-talk, depending upon himself and not having faith in God. God was telling him to go and do a huge ministry that would change the world, but he was looking at himself and saying, I'm not able. Then there was the guy called Jonah. Some of you might have heard of him. Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and go and preach to this huge city that God wanted to repent. They were, you know, a sinful city, and he wanted them to repent and said, go and tell them that if they don't repent, I'm going to judge them. And Nineveh decides he doesn't like the way God is doing stuff, that he has another plan. And very often, you see, when God does tell us to do something, we might sit back and say, yeah, I have a better plan. Yeah, I don't think that's the one we're going to do. Let's do a second service here in Escondido. That's much better than trying to start something fresh up there on Saturday night. Okay? Why don't I go to Cape Town, South Africa, instead of America? Why don't I? Sure, you got another plan, Lord? This plan is not really working for me. So, you know what? I'm just going to run from your plan. Now, how did that work out for Jonah? He ran from the plan, right? Because he just didn't like the way God was thinking. Because he knew God was a merciful God and that God would forgive them. Then there was another guy, Gideon. You might remember Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Angel comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, I want you to go and I want you to lead Israel out of the captivity of the Midianites. I want you to go and overthrow the Midianites. And Gideon looks around and he says, me and whose army? And God says to him, you're a mighty man of valor. You can do it, man. Go, 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 go. You can do it. And of course, he goes through the whole fleece thing and all this kind of stuff. He says, wait. Lord, do you know? He says, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. You don't get worse than me. You come to the wrong guy. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowledge. I'm not a soldier. I can't do anything that you're asking me to do. And then, of course, he decides after the fleeces work out that he gets this big army together, and God shows up and says, you know what? Send all the people that are afraid home. And Gideon says, that's me too. I'm out of here. And about how many? 30,000 leave? And then he says, everybody who's drinking out the left hand or the right hand, I can't even remember the excuses to send people home. And I think finally he ends up with about 10,000. Why? Because God says, Gideon, when you are weak, I'm strong. And that's what God said to Paul. He said, you see, when you're at your weakest, then any victory that is brought by me, I get the glory for. Because that's what he said to Gideon. There's too many people here, man. They'll say that you won the battle. Too many people. I need a small group of people. I just need one or two. I just need a little bunch of people that have the heart for God, and I can do it. I don't need the big crowd to do the job. Because the smaller the crowd that goes to do it, the greater will be the glory, and people will recognize that I did it, and it wasn't you. Are you still tracking with me? Okay. Then, of course, Cornelius, New Testament guy. Saul gets converted on the road to Damascus. And then the Lord appears to Cornelius and says, now I want you to go pray for Saul. And he says to the Lord in the vision, yeah, not so much. You know who the guy is, just in case you don't know? He's the guy coming to kill everybody. He's got letters, he's throwing people in prison and everything. And you want me to go into the lion's den and pray for the lion tamer? I don't think so. He is about here to kill people. I'm going to go hide, find somebody else to do it. He said, you know what, Cornelius, I've already told him you're coming. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you committing me ahead of asking me. How many of you know that sometimes God does that to you? He'll commit you to a place because he's created good works for you to do beforehand in Christ Jesus, good works that you can walk, that you should walk in and nobody else can walk in, that he's planned for you to do. And then he taps you on the shoulder, a little nudge, says, now it's time for you to go do it. And you go, yeah, me and whose army? I don't have the money. I'm too busy. I've got this problem. You know, I've got these things that I'm taking care of. Do you know how busy I am already? Can't you find somebody who's not that tied up? Then the scripture comes to mind in Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. You see, oftentimes Christians are obedient but not willing. If God tells them to do something, they do it with a long face. Their face is so long that they keep on kicking their chin as they walk. And they get a big, fat, swollen bottom lip. Because God is asking you to do something that you really don't want to do. And oftentimes, spiritual things will not be exciting to the flesh. Your flesh man, the natural man, won't want to do it. Because it requires getting out of bed. And your flesh wants to continue sleeping. It doesn't want to get up and do it. Didn't Jesus say something like this? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't want to obey God, period. Okay? Just doesn't want to. So, but we have to find ourselves willing and obedient before we eat the good of the land. So if you're going to obey, if you're going to follow, you have to get happy about it. In other words, if I look at you and I can tell by your face that you're not happy, and you tell me I am happy, Pastor, I'm happy inside, then I'm going to say to you, let your face know about it. Let your face know that you're happy, because your face is telling everybody you're not happy. What's inside of you is showing up in your face. So we need to get happy about it. Okay? Now, do you remember when God brought Israel out of Egypt? They were in the desert, that he put a cloud covering during the day to protect them from the hot summer sun. And then at nighttime, what did he do? A pillar of fire. Now, both of them are symbolic of what? Holy Spirit. The cloud and the fire both symbolize the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was with them, covering them and protecting them. Okay? But then there was a proviso given to Moses about the cloud. Do you remember what it was? When the cloud moves, pack up and go. Is that right? Otherwise, you're going to be left in the sun on your own. The covering is going. So the important thing here is the timing of God. Everybody say the timing of God. We have to know when it's the right time to do something. It's so important. Because if you're a surfer, and I know Brian will agree with this, if you're going to catch a wave, if you paddle too early, you'll be exhausted by the time the wave comes, and you'll not be able to pick up enough speed at that time to catch the wave. If you paddle too late, you'll go up the top of the wave, and if you then catch it, there's a good possibility you'll go over the falls and you'll fall all the way down, or you'll just slide over the back. Catching the wave is an art, and that's why it's such a big deal in this world of surfing. And many times, catching the wave has been a term used in the realm of the spirit world, in the time of churches, where people have said there was a move of God, whether it was a charismatic move, whether it was a healing move, or it was some other kind of move, and people will tell you, catch the wave. Move when God moves. And if you catch the wave, it's going to seem effortless. Effortless. So the timing is critical. Timing is critical. The last thing we want to do is injure the Promised Church Escondido. Not after putting my life into it for 6 years. The last thing I want to do is injure this church. If anything, I would like to do is encourage the church. Blow some fresh air into it. Prop it up. Get it excited about something. Anything. Thanks for those three grunts. Amen. So timing is critical. You understand? Move with the cloud. It's critical. When God says go, on the way up, you say how far. And when God gives you a clear nudge, you go with it. So I had a meeting with the leadership team on Memorial afternoon, and I shared with them the nudge or the plan that I was sensing about starting a service in Temecula on Saturday nights. Just so happened, we had a prophetess visit on Sunday. Unexpectedly, we weren't expecting her here. There was a wedding, and Peggy Cole was sitting in the second row. So when I finished preaching, I said, hey, Peggy, come up and minister to the people, whatever the Lord tells you. So she came up and she ministered to the people. And she turned to me and she said, I have a word from the Lord for you. I said, what's that? She said, you've been faithful. And now the Lord said, go ahead and do the plan that's in your heart. What? You understand? Nobody in the planet knew about it. Go ahead and do the plan. Go ahead with a plan. I'm in it. I'm with you. I want you to do it. Now, none of you knew what she was talking about because you thought I'm planning here two rows from the outside coming up, going down the center line. This is the plan that you think. That's the plan. But God and I know that there's another plan that I think it's God. I think it's Him. And I have somewhat of a confirmation from the Lord to do this. So, we decide to look for premises. So, go to Craigslist. You'll find a couple of churches, contact them, see if there's something we can do. Get hold of the one church, go in to see it. And, you know, one of the concerns are, obviously, if you're going to go up there on a Saturday night and you're going to set up, put up all the sound equipment, do all this, and then tear it all down, and then drive back home, that you could be talking about a five-hour Saturday. So that's a problem. Right? You understand? So I find a church that's looking to rent out their space, fully fitted, twice the size of this, with all the equipment, including all of this equipment and drums, all included, keyboard, everything, sound system at the back, 32 channels, computers, a mother's room with a video system inside it so they can see, a toddler's room inside, coffee bar, office, over 100 parking spaces, right against the 15. They want $2,000 a month for it. They end up giving it to me for $1,700 a month. Half the cost of this space, twice the size, not 1 cent work done. Not 1 cent necessary to remodel or to buy a piece of equipment. I wonder if God is in this. I better pray about this. This is getting serious. You understand? Immediately available. Just happens to be Pentecostal. Yeah. Play same music we play. 300 chairs in the auditorium. Beautiful. Turnkey. Walk in, switch the lights on. Have church, leave, put the lights off. About $350 a week. I wonder if we have that kind of money. I'm being facetious. But you've got to understand there is also self-talk going on inside my head because I'm the leader of this bunch. And I've got to make sure that I'm hearing God and making the right choices and making the right decisions. Okay? So, I think we're on track. Let me finish. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah sees the Lord. Sees him seated on his throne, high and lifted up. Train filling the temple, his robe. The moment he sees God, he realizes he's a sinner. He says, woe am I, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King. He's seen God. The moment he sees God, he's aware of his sinful condition. An angel comes down, picks up a coal off the altar, comes down and touches his lips. And the angel says to him, now that I've touched your lips, your guilt is gone and your sin is atoned. And after he'd been touched, he heard the voice of God speaking. And the voice was, the voice said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then he responded, here am I, Lord, send me. I wonder if you have seen the Lord spiritually. If you're born again, you have. And in order to get born again, you also had to, first of all, experience the state of being undone, the state of being a sinner, the state of realizing I need God's touch. And then the Lord touched you. And when he touched you, he took away your guilt. He cleansed you from your sin. And you could hear his voice clearly. And now I'm wondering if you would respond to the plea from the voice of the Lord. Who will go for us? Who can we send? Would you respond? Here, my Lord, send me. Or is the sacrifice too big? Pastor Henry, what are you asking me to sacrifice? What are you asking from me? When Abraham was asked to give his son that he loved, his only son that he'd waited for, what was his response? Yeah, I'll do it. You see, he didn't allow himself, the negative self-talk, to talk him out of this. So what happened? He was standing by faith because he said to the guys with him, I and the lad are going to go worship and we will return. He knew that if he had to in fact kill his son, that God would raise him up out of the ashes. Book of Hebrews tells us that. What about David and Goliath? The odds were against him. He was a massive giant out there. David, just a runt of a boy, little shepherd. Nobody wanted to deal with a giant. He comes on the scene. He doesn't look at himself. He doesn't put on natural armor. He doesn't turn to the things of the world to strengthen him or the natural things. He says, the God whom I serve, Jehovah, is going to take you out. I'm coming in his name. People understand something. I'm not going to do this thing in my name. I'm not going to do this thing in my strength. I'm not going to do this in the form of just my own natural, and nor is anybody else who's going to help me do this. We're going to do it in the name of Jesus. We're going to do it by his anointing and by the guidance of his spirit, not our own strength. The sacrifice that Jesus made when he said, follow me, pick up your cross daily and follow me. He said, do the same. So the question is this, what sacrifice is God, would God call upon you that you would turn around and say, it's too much, I can't do that. He's asking too much from me. I can't do it. Asking me too much. So this is what I'm going to ask. In the next 3 months, we're launching it on June the 21st, Saturday. June the 21st, Saturday. In the next 3 months, could you make 7 trips up there? God's number. 7 trips in 3 months. That's it. Done. And within 3 months, we'll have enough people up there to carry the full load of that ministry. I'm going to look for volunteers to help in Children's Church, to help in music, to help as ushers, to help in any department. I'm going to look for volunteer congregation. Pastor, I'll come and be part of it. 7 visits in the next 3 months. Volunteer congregation. If you know how to clap your hands and praise the Lord and lift your hands, and you're willing to let your face know that you're happy, that you're not making the trip all the way to Temecula and having to stop at McDonald's halfway in order to finish the journey. And you're going to be happy to be there. That's what I'm asking. Is that too much? Do you know that there's a story that Jesus told about a king who had a banquet, great feast. And when he had prepared everything, he sent out his servants to go and get the people to come in. And one by one, they made excuses why they couldn't go to the king's feast. The one was, I'm too busy with my business. The other one is, I've got this land. I want to go and look at my stuff is keeping me away. The other one said, I've married a wife. So my family commitments are too much. And one by one, they all made excuses why they couldn't attend the king's banquet. The king is inviting you to come to a feast in Temecula, to be part of touching that community for Jesus, part of doing something that you've never done before, doing something significant, doing something that will have eternal consequences and will give you a true sense of fulfillment. Eternal. Eternal fulfillment. As you do something significant for other people, freely you have received, freely give. The idea would be to duplicate what we do on Sunday on their Saturday night. There are thousands of people, I'm convinced in my spirit, thousands of people up there who are Christian, who would love to hear what you hear. Would love to have the fullness of the Spirit that you have. Would love to have the worship that you have. Thousands upon thousands that are there, that are hungering and thirsting after God and have no pool to drink at. Because the diet they've been served or the places they're going is not satisfying their spiritual need. If we have anything that's worthwhile, should we not export it? Should we not take it out? Should we not reach out to those who don't have what we have? And if we have something that is not worthwhile, then we should find it and bring it in. If this is not the best, then we should go find the best and bring it in. What do you think? So let me show you a little map of where this place is. I'm sure you know Temecula quite well. Heading into Temecula, the very first exit is the 79. The very first is called Temecula Parkway. You know that one? The very first as you come down the hill. Well, that's where you get off, right there. And you take a left turn under the 15, and you're on what is called Old Town Front Street. Everybody knows where Old Town is. You go a half a mile towards Old Town, and it's on the right-hand side. So it's on the southern side of Old Town. There's, you know, the big gates for Old Town, and there's a traffic light right outside Old Town. And the name of the street of the traffic light is Santiago. I wonder what that means. Anybody? San Diego. Santiago. That's the name of the intersection. Santiago and Old Town. And there's a little strip mall called South Creek Strip Mall. And it's behind the, it's in the strip mall. And there's hundreds of parking spaces. You just drive up and you're in. So from Escondido side, very, very, very close. Well situated up Temecula, everybody knows Old Town. So it's not an expensive deal, really. And it's well situated, and it's a turnkey operation. The biggest thing is, I believe it's God's timing. Now, it just happens that Mike, my son-in-law, who has the berry farm, during this month, May and June, which is the peak season picking the blueberries, some of you have already been out there, they have movies on Friday nights, 4 weeks. First one was this Friday night. Open seating, people bringing family out, children. I think it was 400 or 500 people there last night. And they show family movies, and he gets up and he reads the Bible and he prays over the 500 people that are there. Has done for years. This is America I'm talking about. He asked me if I'd come on the fourth Friday night. He's going to show the movie Courageous. And he asked me if I would do an altar call afterwards. And then hand my book out, God's Plan, to the people who get saved. So they're going to pack it out, about 400 people. They do this every Friday. And that Friday night is the 20th of June. And it's the next day that we start the church up there, the service. Very next day. And it might be a coincidence. It might be. But I think God's timing is involved. And there's a lot of people that would attend and would come and be fed. So now, Pastor Henry, what do you want us to do? I'm glad you asked. We're going to receive a little offering in a moment. But before we do that, we need volunteers who are willing to come every second week. That's the 7 visits in 3 months. If you want to volunteer to help with the ushers, if you've been trained in children's church, you went through the training and you said, I'd like to come up and help with the children's church on the Saturday night. Now, here's the great thing about it. If you're out of town on a Sunday, you can come up there on Saturday, and we'll end up preaching the same sermon up there as we do here. But initially, I've got to help them get into the Word, find out who Jesus is, find out the Word's authority, get the Holy Spirit, learn how to praise and worship. We're going to have to do all that, okay? So we're going to have to start at that level, encouraging them to move along until we can do the same sermon we do here as we do there. But if you can't make a Sunday morning, you might come up there on a Saturday night and visit with us. And then if you feel like I want to get a double dose, then you come back down here on Sunday and get it again. So we're looking for some people to volunteer in the music, looking for people to volunteer in ushers, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to have Cheryl coming down here, please. She heads up the ushers team. If you'd like to volunteer on the ushers team, you can come and speak to her. I'm going to have Pastor Paul come on down here, please. Joy, could you come down here? Craig is in Children's Church at the moment. Maybe you can give her a list for people who would like to work in the Children's Church area. So those are the biggest areas, Children's Church, ushering, and the music. Okay? So we'll have opportunity for you to write your name down and choose the weeks that you want to come out and be part of this launch. If you can't make it, You can't volunteer. You say, well, Pastor Henry, I can't get up there. I can't do this. But I would like to support that financially. I'm going to receive one offering right now. One offering for you to help that work. It doesn't matter if it's $5. It doesn't matter if it's $10. I remember when I gave to my brother's work, when he started in South Africa, I gave 10, 20, or whatever it was to help him. And then whenever I could, I helped him again. And now over 100,000 people have been saved and born again in his ministry. And guess what? I was involved in the financing of that work because I gave right in the very beginning. You know about the whole thing about a pyramid scheme? You know the whole thing about multi-level? You've got to get in at the bottom. So this is the bottom. This is the beginning. So anybody else that comes in after this, you get blessed by their salvation. You get blessed by them being healed and whatever. You understand? Because you got in at the bottom. You put your support in at the bottom. So this is what you need to do. And this is what you want to do at any time in the future. Would you write in the memo of your check or on the memo of the credit card, Temecula? So you need to say the promise, Temecula, just to separate the income, because we believe that up there they will become self-supporting within the 3 months. Amen. And we would have simply kicked it off. We would just started the work. They are brother and sister to us. It's one church, two locations. You understand? One church, two locations. We have a location there, we have a service operating there, and we have this one here. And nothing here is going to change at all. So put your fears to rest. Don't get excited about it. Well, I'm going to leave. Pastor Henry's going to Temecula. I'm already there, sweetheart. I've been there for over 18 months, okay? And the thought never entered my mind. Never entered my mind about launching a Saturday night service until I got the God nudge. And then it began to fall into place very quickly. Okay? All right? So, let's pray, and we'll receive the offering. We'll dismiss you, and those who would like to volunteer in these departments, come up and see the folks. Give them your names. If you're volunteering as a congregation member, you don't have to put your name down. You show up. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, we believe that you're leading us by your Spirit, and we're following the best we know how. We sense this is your time to do it. And we're excited for this opportunity, even though it involves risk, even though it involves effort, even though it involves time and money. We will not allow negative self-talk to talk us out of your plans and purposes, but we, by faith, deliberately choose to trust you in the face of any adverse circumstances. And we believe, Lord, that you will lead us to the victory, because we know that no great victory can ever be won without a great battle. And Lord, we put on our battle armor. We're ready to do battle for you. And we say, here am I, send me. And so Lord, as we give today, we ask you to multiply the fish and the bread, just like you did when you fed the 5,000. Take the $5, take the $10, take whatever it is and multiply it. Meet the needs of this service in Temecula. And Lord, every single person who gets born again, spirit-filled, falls in love with Jesus there, thank you for adding them to our crown. Thank you, Lord. Give us peace as we continue to follow you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know somebody who lives in Temecula? Do you think you could call them? You think, how many know more than one person? What about calling three people if you can? Telling them we're starting. Telling where we're starting. 6 o'clock, Saturday evening. Tell them you need to be there. And if you can commit yourself, tell them you'll be there if you can. Ask them to come. Tell them what an exciting thing it is. Tell them an exciting church that you belong to. And say, I want to tell you something. You need to come in here at the band. And the pastor is amazing. Amen? Amen? Boast a little bit about Jesus. Boast about the ministry. Encourage them to come, because if they come in, you know they're going to get fed. You know they're going to get ministered to. You know that they're going to grow spiritually, and you'll be part of that. Question? Okay. Can you remember South Creek? Old, on Front Street. Front Street. It's the South Creek Mall. South Creek Mall. And it's the intersection of Santiago and Front Street. The what? The Promise? True Vine. If you're driving on the freeway, you'll see the big monument that says True Vine. But we'll have a banner that we'll pull up that'll show the Promise. We'll get flags we're going to put in the road. So the promise, they need to be looking for the Promise, not the True Vine. It's going to be in the facility of the True Vine, but we will be putting up a banner. Go ahead and receive the offering. Thank you.